Victory over fear. The topic we're going to have over the next several weeks is the thought of victory. How many of you like and appreciate the word victory? Maybe next week we'll sing, and maybe we'll have for our theme for later the month, and victory in Jesus. But tonight, this morning, is going to be about victory over fear. You know, I like victory, whether it's being victorious in a ball game, whether it be just victorious and singing that song, knowing that we have victory over death in the grave. But this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about victory over fear. Have you ever been afraid of anything? I tell you something. I'll tell a story on myself. The one thing that I was afraid of growing up was my grandmother's cellar. Anybody agree? Anybody ever been afraid? Oh my goodness! I can remember going to my dad's side, my grandma Cook, and my grandma Cook. She was a prayer warrior, and she prayed for me. I was the only preacher in the family, and she loved me. She would never tell anyone, but once in a while, she'd whisper over and say, "You know, you're my favorite only because you're a preacher of the gospel." But I can remember as a young boy going up, and she'd say, "Junior." Because of those you're visiting, I'm Douglas MacArthur Cook Jr. So you can stand and salute at your leisure. And I was called Junior growing up. And there was no light switch at the top of the door going down to the cellar. You had to go down the stairs to the middle of the dirt floor, pull the little chain. And back in the corner was some coal and some wood for the furnace. There was lots of jam and jelly and green beans and potatoes and tomatoes. Oh, my soul, I'm getting hungry. All there in the cellar. And I used to be afraid to go down there. And my dad would say, "Son, there's nothing to be afraid of. Why are you afraid?" I said, "Well, Dad, if I shouldn't be afraid, then you go down with me, or you go." You know, it reminds me of the little boy who was also asked to go down to the cellar, and it wasn't me, to go down and get a can of tomatoes for Grandma. And the little boy said, "Oh, Grandma, I'm afraid. Why can't Billy go? Why can't someone else go?" "Now, Junior, there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus will be with you." "Yeah, but Grandma, it's dark down there. I can barely reach the chain." "Son, you go down there and get this can of tomatoes for me." So the young man went down there. He opened the door, went down two steps, and he said, "Jesus, if you're in there, please pass the tomatoes." But isn't it wonderful to know that he does go with us, that he is with us, no matter how big our fear is, no matter what we're facing, no matter what tragedy in our life, no matter what the circumstance is. We do have fear, but we can also have victory over that fear, knowing that he is with us and that he is in control. Let's go ahead and look at our passage and look at a little bit of an introduction here this morning. As you remember last week that we gathered on resurrection morning and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ and a wonderful passage we have here. Yet on that first Easter morning, the sense of joy was not immediately known. In fact, scriptures indicate there in verse 5 that those at the tomb were confused and afraid. You ever been there? We all have, and we probably will be again in the future. See, fear is something that people live with every single day. It could be a test at school, at work, or at a hospital. It seems like there is always something going on or anticipated that causes some type of fear. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University reported some 20 years ago that the greatest fears of grade school children were large animals, a dark room, probably a root cellar, high places, strangers, and loud noises. Now we fast forward to today, and today kids are afraid of COVID-19, global warming and environmental issues, cancer, school violence and terrorism, moving out of their parents' house. Some of y'all got that. Moving out of their parents' house. Things have changed. Parents are afraid of a whole different list of issues. They're concerned or scared of the public school system, CRT training, sexual orientation, wokeness in our society. Have you read the news? I mean, goodness, just reading the news and hearing what went on this past week in Maine and some other areas in the upper portion, not quite the upper peninsula, in Michigan. All across our America where students are being betrayed with their teachers against their parents. We live in a time that is a fearful time, but still we can have victory over our fears. See, Jesus had foretold his own death, burial, and resurrection, but sometimes in a trial, we can lose perspective of the facts. And fear can hinder our ability to remember the promises of God. The Bible tells us in John 2 and verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." I don't think they got it. I don't think it quite sunk in. And what about us? Do we also know, even though the Lord says to be not afraid, that sometimes we still have fear? And see, it's called this flesh and bones. It's called this body that we live in. We are not perfected yet. And therefore, we will struggle with sin. We will struggle with fear. We'll struggle with other things in our life. But the Lord reminds us. So let me share with you this morning three things that can lead to fear. Three things that can lead to fear. Here back in our text in verse number 5, notice that our circumstance can bring fear. The women at the tomb, without a doubt, here as we see in our text, and they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, "Why seek you the living among the dead?" They were concerned, they were afraid, because the body of Jesus was not there. He was gone. Who took him? They had great concern, and we see that their fear was revealed here in this section, because the tomb was sealed and guarded. They were full of sorrow because of his death, still not remembering what he said there in John, and then there was fear when his body was not there. What all might have went through their mind, what all they may have thought of, I have no idea, but their fear was revealed. And dear friends, sometimes things happen in our life that brings to the surface the fear that we have. And it's revealed and we see that what it is. In John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and unto other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, and they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre." See, dear friends, when Jesus met Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 8, she was plagued by demons. He had her free, he had set her free and given her new life, and now she was faced with the fear of life without the Lord Jesus Christ. The bottom line was, see, for a moment there, she forgot. She forgot who he was, what he had done for her, and he had said he would be back. But yet there was fear brought upon them. And dear friends, we all fear something. But the question is, do we fear too much? What is it that keeps us up at night? What is it that causes fear? I know sometimes anxiety, excitement, maybe some things happening the next day keeps us up or keeps us from taking that nap. But what about fear? How hard is it to turn it over to the Lord? Easier said than done. We have some good examples here. At times our fears will be revealed, but we also need to realize that their fear was also relieved in verse number 6 through 8. Verse number 8 tells us, and they remembered his words. The Bible tells us again in Psalms 119:24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Dear friends, the word of God and rehearsing his goodness will relieve the fears that we face and encounter on a regular basis. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God." And that same word can encourage us, can remind us and challenge us of the goodness of God. Dear friends, I don't know what you do when you have fear. I don't know what you do when things come across and you have a little bit of concern, a little anxiety, maybe wringing of your hands. But let me help you out a little bit. Rehearse and remember what the Lord has done for you in the past. Rehearse and remember what the Lord has done through you and for you. Remember the day that the Lord gave you insight, that you understood your need and trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Remember all the goodness of God, knowing that this may be a little much for me. I'm not quite sure how it's going to turn out, but I do know one thing. God does know, and he is in control. Amen? We're going to face some issues, but we must remember as we face our circumstances, and when they bring fear, we can address them head on. Yes, their fear was revealed, their fear was relieved. But then we also notice the disciples that were with them that day as well. At his death, the disciples had to have been afraid. John's account in chapter 19, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." And then in Mark 14, the Bible refers to Peter when he cuts off the ear of the by defending the Lord when they came to take him. But in verse 50 says, "And they forsook him and fled." So here they are excited. They're a little bit concerned. They're coming to get the Lord. Peter defends him. The Lord is taken away. And it says they forsook him and fled. note here at his resurrection, their fear is revealed, and all that took place are the fears that they had because of his death that took place. Their fear was revealed. They were troubled when they should have been rejoicing. If we're following at the feet of Jesus, and he's telling us of his death, the burial, and the resurrection, he speaks of the temple and how he will raise it up again, but yet when it actually takes place, I may say this a little bit later, but remember Job? He says, that which I have greatly feared has come upon me. And hey, we all face some fears in life. But again, we must remind ourselves that, again, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows exactly what's going on. He knows we'll fear before we even face the fear. He already has the answer. He already has the result. We may not always like it or appreciate it, but we can take comfort in knowing that he knows what's best. Even when we know he is there, we often fail to trust him. Dear friends, there's no reason to fear when Jesus is near. Ron Hamilton or Patch the Pirate made that song quite popular. But there's no reason to fear when Jesus is near. And dear friends, he's not in the cellar, but he's with me wherever I go. He's with me through thick and thin. He's with me in the times of rejoicing and praising. And we can praise God and lift our hands and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God is so good. We also need to be able to do that when things are a little bit rocky, when things are a little bit rough, when things are going sideways, when things are at a point that I just don't know what to do. Folks, we always know what to do, is that is let go and let God. I know it's hard and it's difficult, but we see here with the examples that their fear were revealed, but then we see in verse 39 that their fears were relieved. Their fears were relieved in verse number 39. The Bible tells us that, behold my hands and my feet, that if it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit have not flesh and bones as ye have me. Here Jesus, when he arose, he planted hope among the widespread despair and the hopelessness among the disciples. And dear friends, don't let circumstances cause you to fear in your life. Our Lord is in control. Recognize him when he is working in your life. Let me make that a question. Do you recognize when he's working in your life? Do you recognize when he is allowing things to draw you closer to him? Do you recognize when he is allowing you to go through some things that you might be more like him? You know, the best example I could ever give is with my children growing up. I don't know about you, but I had three girls and a boy. And at least one of my girls, on occasion, would look at daddy or mommy or someone else, and they would say, I'm not talking to you. And they would just distance themselves into the room. Not being ugly or disrespectful, she just didn't like the punishment. She didn't like what was going on. She didn't like whatever it may be. And by the way, it was Kayla. I'm not talking to you. I whispered that so it doesn't count. But there's one thing for sure. Even though she may not have been talking to me, even though she may have been a little frustrated with the whole world, not dad, just the world, but when she needed something, when she was fearful, when she skint her knee, or when something happened, or she was afraid, it did not matter who she was or wasn't talking to, but she'd be running to the arms of daddy. She'd be running to the arms of mom for protection, for whatever fear that she had. And dear friends, we can always do the same with the Lord Jesus. When we have fears, we can just go to him. Isn't it wonderful? And as we get a little bit older, we don't even have to run to him. All we have to do is say, Jesus. He's there. No matter where we are, what we're going through, he's there. He has everything under control. The disciples, their fear was revealed, but we also notice in reference to their circumstance that their fears were relieved. And then as we go on to number two, not only do we see that our fears, our circumstances can bring fear, but number two, our failure can bring fear. Our failure can bring fear, especially the fear of failure. You ever been afraid that you're going to fail? You ever been afraid to do something that you loved? You ever afraid to do something that you really just, I just love this, but something came along and you're afraid? I played baseball growing up, and most of you know, and I really enjoyed it. And I remember this one guy, his name was Kowalski. I think that was his name. I can't remember. But he was a little taller than all the other youth league. He threw the ball. To me, it seemed like 100 miles an hour when I was 10 years old. I mean, the guy could make the ball look like an aspirin coming in. I love baseball, but when we played them and he was pitching, I was scared to death. I was afraid. Not of whether I could hit or not, but what if he hit me? Boy, that ball's coming in that fast. That's going to hurt. To Warner Brother, I mean, that would sting. I was afraid. And my dad would say, son, what are you afraid of? If he hits you, you get to go. You get to walk over to first base. I said, unless he hits me in the leg, then I got a limp. He said, just get up there and have fun. Don't be afraid. I know he throws hard, but the faster it comes, the farther it goes. And I can remember encouraging me, being scared to death, and the first two guys struck out on 6 pitches. I get up there and close my eyes and swing my bat on the first pitch and rattle the left center fence. Boy, I stood there in shock before I realized I needed to run. But it helped me to get over the fear, and the next time I faced him and every future time that I faced him, I wasn't afraid. Because I knew I could hit him. I didn't know if I would, but I knew I could because I'd already done it once. And dear friends, no matter what Satan throws at us, we can handle it. Now, we might fail at times. We might strike out. We might miss a few, but the Lord is there to pick us up and to help us. He's there to whisper in our ear and tells us, hey, you've got this. There's nothing that he can do that I allow or not allow. Trust me. Dear friends, we can allow circumstance, but we can also allow fear or failure of fear to hinder us in our Christian walk. See, failure can bring fear and lead to poor decisions. Quote I came across. I would like to give credit. It's not me, but I read it somewhere. Fear does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. Let me say that again. Fear does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strengths. Dear friends, don't allow fear to prevail in your life. Don't allow fear to overcome you. Don't allow Satan to use things to intimidate you or keep you from witnessing, to keep you from living in the Lord, to keep you from doing what you need to do. Just move forward and allow God to work and to move in your life. Let's look at two men that almost allowed fear and failure to limit them. First of all, notice Peter. His failure, his biggest failure was his denial of Christ. Peter was going to fight for the kingdom, but remember Peter in Mark 14:66 through the rest of that verse. And Peter was beneath in the palace. And there cometh one of the maids and the high priest. And when he saw Peter warming himself, he took upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him, and again to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little later, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them. Thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom thou speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when thou thought thereon, he wept. Dear friends, peer pressure could cause you to deny Christ or avoid knowing him and serving him. His failures, he's denied Christ. Folks, are we ready to face the world? Are we ready to say, it doesn't matter what comes my way, I will never, ever, ever deny the Lord? I mean, this is one that went from cutting off the ear of a soldier to denying the Lord. Well, think about it for a moment. Hey, he had his ups and downs and failures, but God used him greatly down the road when he got things right with God. And just like today, we can be rest assured that God desires to use us to work through us. Don't allow failure to cause you to fear. Don't. Tell another story on myself. I mean, I remember watching the old Saturday morning cartoons. You know, when they were looking for volunteers, everyone's lining ranks, that everyone stepped back and pushed one guy forward. It was always Porky Pig, wasn't it? He was always the one that got pushed forward. I can remember going out soul winning a visitation in Fort Hood, Texas. I was scared. I was nervous. I had no reason to be. I was with a guy, Brother Elias, who was a former drill sergeant, Brother Gregory, who was a real genuine Colonel Green Beret. I mean, he was a man's man. And we're out visiting. And we got out there several Saturdays visiting, and I was a quiet guy. I stirred the beans. I took the dog out back. I did whatever needed to be done so they can talk to whoever we were talking to, inviting them to church. And then one Saturday morning, they said, okay, Brother Cook, you're up. You've been watching for 2 or 3 weeks. It's your turn to answer the next door. I was afraid. I can't think why now, but I had watched. I knew what to do. I knew the Word of God. I knew Romans Road. I knew how to take someone through the Scriptures. I was comfortable doing that one-on-one, but not knowing what was behind door number one scared me. And that morning, we got up there, and we knocked on the door, and Brother Gregory and Brother Elias took a step back. And there I was. The meanest man in the state of Texas answered the door that day. When he walked, his knuckles scraped the ground. In the living room behind the door as he opened was his Harley Davidson, taken all apart, and the motor, the carburetor, all in the floor as he was working on it. He had longer hair and an earring and tattoos. And that, back in those days for me, it was intimidating and fearful. Today is just another day. He opened that door and he said, what do you want? And about that time, I went from scared to trembling. My name is Doug Cook. I'm from Clean Baptist Temple, where I've invited people to church. Tell you what, folks, he told me where to go and how to get there. Made no bones about it, and then he slammed the door. I was defeated. I was still trembling and afraid. I walked back to the car, sat in the back seat. Brother Gregory and Brother Elias closed their doors, and they both began to snicker. And I felt about this big as a young private, 19 years old, thought I could charge hell with 2 water pistols. I was scared. They both turned around. Brother Elias, in his Hispanic accent, boy, I love Brother Elias. He said, Brother Cook, if that's the worst you ever face, it still will not compare to what Jesus went through on Calvary's cross. No, just like that, I thought to myself, why didn't you tell me that before we knocked on the door? But my fear, though it was revealed at the door, it vanished after having a conversation with those two men. They encouraged me and they challenged me to not to quit, not to give up. He says, by the way, Brother Gregory, the Green Beret, he says, by anyway, Brother Cook, I could have taken him if things got bad. Why were you afraid? Made me feel even a little bit smaller, a little more fearful, not even thinking who I had with me. I had two men that were in top-notch shape. One was a Green Beret, the other a drill sergeant, and I'm afraid. Folks, many things cause us to fear, but we must remind ourselves when we're serving the Lord, our fears at times will be revealed, but don't allow fear to keep us from doing what we know that we should be doing. And by the way, I was 19 years old back then. I could tell you more stories of similar situations, but I can also tell you through the coming weeks and months, I did lead somebody to Christ knocking on their door. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. We did get people to come to church. And dear friends, just like Peter, his failure was denying Christ, but we also know that he got forgiveness somewhere along the way, because the Bible says in Mark 16:7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. Dear friends, he doesn't forget us or leave us out. Amen. He does not forget us and he does not leave us out. He is always near. There's nothing to fear when Jesus is near. Yeah, we're going to get fearful. It's only human nature. Don't leave today thinking, Brother Cook says, it's sin to be fearful. No, we will be fearful, but we can remind ourselves who is in control and ask him to help us to overcome our fear in the things that we are facing. Not only Peter, we see doubting Thomas. His failure, he failed to believe. Here in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 25, but Thomas, or Tomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Dear friends, do we doubt what God can do or what he has promised? Are we like the doubting Thomas where we question and doubt what Jesus could do, knowing what he's done in the past? Let me ask you, is there anything that God cannot do other than lie? I'm not talking about theology. What can he not do? He can provide and make a way. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we should get out here in an intersection and serve all in Van Buren when school lets out. That's foolish. What I'm saying is in our process of serving the Lord, he will guide, he will protect, and he will give us the courage that we need to do the job. Dear friends, I'm still nervous and fearful every time I stand and preach the gospel. It's an awesome responsibility. I've overcome that fear, and I'm doing better at it, and I hope I improve even more. But there's still some concern, a little fear, a little concern. Will I do everything that I need to do and that which I should do? But dear friends, even with doubting Thomas, we see that he has a renewed faith in John chapter 20, verse 28, 9. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God," as he sees him. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not believed and yet have believed." Dear friends, don't let a lack of faith cause you to fear and to doubt. God is in complete control. You're here today and you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You're eternal. You're secure in Christ. And if you have not been baptized, your next step of obedience to faith is baptism. A little commercial here, by the way. Next Sunday night, we'll have baptismal service. If you need to be baptized, let me know. We already have one for sure, maybe a second one. But in the process of serving the Lord, remind yourself, I am not going to allow fear to hinder or keep me from serving the Lord. Our future, and we'll get to the third point here in just a moment, but think about that. Circumstances and failure can bring fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of the power and of love and of a sound mind." So if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, where does the fear come from? That man in the state of Texas? No, where does it come from? Yeah, so why should we fear? God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I'm not saying we need to be cocky, we need to be overconfident and bold, but we can go boldly. In fact, the epistles tells us to go boldly before the throne of grace. And if we can go boldly before the throne of grace, why can we not go boldly into this world and tell others about Jesus? Why can we not go out boldly into this world and live a Christian life? Why can we not go out boldly into this world and treat others with compassion and kindness and allow them to see Christ in our life? There's no reason except for fear. Will we allow fear to keep us, hinder us from living and for serving the Lord? Circumstances. Fear of failure. Number three this morning, our future can bring fear. Our future can bring fear. In verse number 38 of our text, the Bible says, "He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Jesus prophesies in verses 44 through 46 about his death and his resurrection. He wanted them to realize that they did not have to worry about their future. It was part of his sovereign plan because God is in control of our future. Friends, we may allow circumstances to cause us to fear. We may allow failure. But dear friends, let's not allow our future to bring fear, because I don't know about you. I know where I'm going to be when the trumpet sounds. I know where I'm going to be when I take my last breath. I know that I know that I know, because I'm secure in Christ. And if we are fearful of the future, we need to ask ourselves, do I know the Lord? If you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, why not trust him today? And Christian, if you know that you're saved, rest in the security of knowing that he has you. He has you in his hands. You are safe and you're secure in Christ. Matthew 26 tells us, and I won't read the whole text, but sections there, 31 and verse 32. "Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." They knew what was taking place. The Lord had taught them, and how much they actually caught. He taught, they just didn't always catch it. And dear friends, we need to be reminded what the Bible says. John 16, 22. "And you know now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Yes, dear friends, we live in a world today. We live in this woke society. We live in this world today where things are going topsy-turvy. We live in a world today where people are fleeing states and cities to get out of political situations, to get out of all those things that's going on, all the insaneness, to go somewhere else where it might be a little bit better for their family. So if even the ungodly, Even those that maybe don't know the Lord are willing to do all those things. What are we willing to do to receive them when they get here? What are we willing to do and ready to do to welcome them in that sense? Are we going to allow fear or circumstances or the future to bring fear into our life of what might take place? Oh, Lord. Brother Ken, you might have to edit this out. Oh, Lord. All these Californians are coming into Arizona. They're going to change our Democrats. They're going to change us from purple to blue. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? That's fear of the future. That's fear of what might happen. But only the Lord knows. But guess what? The Bible says the world is going to wax worse and worse. It's just prophecy. It's just being foretold. And the Lord's coming again one day. Hey, I don't know about you. Ever so come quickly, Lord Jesus. I mean, there's some days I'm ready to go. And there's other days I'm going to say, well, if they're loading a bus today, I like I have one more day. You know, I feel different ways, different days. But I'm ready to go for the most part. And the only thing that would hesitate me at all is wanting to make sure that my grandchildren are saved. My children are. My grandchildren are old enough to understand, have made a profession. And I rejoice in all of those things. But I'm not going to allow the future to cause me to fear of what might happen today. I'm not going to allow the future to hinder me to keep me from living and serving today. I'm not going to be like an ostrich and stick my head in the sand because if you can't see me or I can't see you, you can't see me. No, we just need to do what we can to live out loud. We need to live it for the Lord. We don't need to be obnoxious. We don't need to be cocky. We just need to be just like the Lord, seasoned with grace, stand our ground, and politely just live for the Lord and use Scripture when and as needed. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 19 and 20, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Dear friends, not only was he in control, he told them what he would do. He told them what he would do. Now, dear friend, I don't know about you. That's why they feared. They either forgot or they forgot to put one finger in when he was talking to keep it all in there, battling around. I don't know. But we all forget on occasion. We all forget certain things, and we may have to be reminded. And that's why it's good to come to church. So that's why it's good to come to the preaching. That's why it's good to read the Word of God. So that's why it's good to have a walk or relationship with the Lord. Dear friends, his death and resurrection, as he prophesies, but not as also reference to our future, Jesus prophesies his death and resurrection, but he also prophesies his second coming. The Bible says in John 14, 1 through 6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto Father but by me. Dear friends, he is coming again. We talked last week about it, the week before about his death, and last week about his resurrection, and now we can look forward to his coming again. Friends, it may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be somewhere out in the future, but we do not need to allow our circumstances or fear or the future to hinder us or keep us from having a victorious life and living for the Lord. We have victory. And by the way, friends, I've read the back of the book. I know the end story. I've read the back of the book. And dear friends, we know that he's coming again. We may not know when, but we know. And dear friends, in the second coming, notice also in reference to Jesus prophesies, but Jesus promised a home in heaven to all that believe. He promised a home in heaven to all that believe. And dear friends, here in that, here's why he did, because of our failure. We are sinners. Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our failure, we needed forgiveness. And we can have forgiveness of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no remission. John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's why we can sing victory in Jesus, because he has overcome the world. And then again in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Dear friends, there's no reason to allow circumstances. There's no reason to allow fear of failure. There's no reason to allow these things to hinder us or the future to cause us to fear, because we have victory in Jesus. We know the end of the story. We know the end of the book. We know it may not play out the way we would like it to play out, but we also know this. We know the end result will be with him. I mentioned earlier about hitting that fellow that threw so hard that I was scared to death of. What I didn't tell you, the next two times I got to the plate the rest of the game, I whiffed on three pitches. I failed, as some experts would say. But my dad kindly reminded me, son, you didn't fail. You went back up and faced him two more times. You were one out of three. Hey, that's a 333 average. That's pretty good. And he tried to encourage me. Folks, we may fail. We may make mistakes. We may try to reach out to someone. They may tell us no. We may have a rough day. We may mess up on a test. We may wring our hands over the results of a test. We may not just say, Lord, I don't know what to do, and throw our hands up. But the end result is we know that we have victory in Jesus. You just might need somebody to remind you. You just might need to open up your Bible. You just might need to bow your head and pray. Say, Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, help me. Lord, I know that you can do it, but Lord, help my unbelief. Help my fear that's overcoming my faith. Dear friends, don't allow fear to overrule your faith. It's natural to have fear. It's natural. Believe me, it is. I'm 59 years old. I still fear some things. I do. When my mama calls me Junior, I tremble still just a little bit. We all have a little things that we fear. I have a little bit of concern about some things. And I pray for my grandchildren, but I don't allow my circumstances. I don't allow things that I try and fail to do or fear of failure. And I don't allow the future to keep me down, though it just may pull me or pause me for a few moments. Because somewhere along the way, either my wife, my daughter, a friend, or the Holy Spirit will say, get out of the gloomies. There's nothing to fear. I've got this under control. Boy, you know, isn't it amazing? Just like it takes childlike faith to come to know the Lord as our Savior, it still takes the childlike faith to overcome fear. Think about it. Those of you that are daddies, how many times have your kids run into your room at the middle of the night or sometime during the day because they were scared to death, but they knew you would make everything okay? They knew you were safe in their arms. Hey, there's been many times I checked in the closet and under beds for boogermans to make sure they weren't there. I promise you. In fact, I've even gotten my pillow laid out in the hallway, said, I'll sleep out here in the hall and make sure everything's okay, sweetheart. You just go right to bed. They had enough faith to believe that Dad was there. There's nothing for me to fear. And dear friends, if we can have faith and confidence that Dad or Mom can secure our fears, why can't we not as adults do the same thing for our Heavenly Father? Hey, he's there no matter where we go and what our circumstances or what ain't taking place. Jesus, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're going through, we have victory in Jesus. So when you get discouraged and you get a little bit out of sorts, you're not quite sure what to do, and you throw up your hands, just remind yourself, I can have victory over fear. Dear friends, has fear kept you from the peace of knowing that you can have a home in heaven? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved on your way to heaven today? If not, I would love to talk to you after the service. I'd love for you to come down here in a few moments during our invitation and let me take the Bible, the Word of God, to show you how you can know that you're saved. See, dear friends, no matter how things are here on earth, I know my future is secure in Christ. And that's victory over fear. That's victory over fear. Circumstances can bring fear. Failure can bring fear, or even the fear of failure. The future can bring fear. But, dear friend, let the empty tomb remove your fear. Let his promises remove your fear. Let salvation remove your fear, dear friend. Experience salvation and experience peace with God. Live in victory and not in fear. Let's all stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Our pianos will begin playing here in just a moment. We'll just have a few moments of invitation this morning. If you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, why not allow us to take the Word of God and show you? Maybe here today, and no one's looking around but me. I'm the only one looking. Maybe you just slip your hand up and back down and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? I will not come to you. I will not pull you aside, but I will pray for you and make myself available." You just slip your hand up and down and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure." Amen. My testimony of your own testimony is no one here has raised their hand for salvation. But maybe you're a Christian here this morning. Maybe there's some things that's caused fear in your life. Maybe there's circumstances. Maybe there's failure or the fear of failure. Maybe even the future that has you fearful, that has you concerned, that maybe has overtaken and consumed your thought pattern and mind that's keeping you from having victory in Jesus today. I'm going to challenge you right now as I pray. I'm going to bow my head and have a word of prayer. The panels keep playing. Why not step out and come and discover the altar and give it to Him? Give your circumstance, give your fear, give your future to the Lord and say, "Lord, I am no longer want to be worried. I no longer want to be feared about these things. I want to give them to you and allow you to help me through these things." Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. You know the hearts of your people. And Father, would you move in the midst of your people and help them respond and do what you would have them to do? I ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. The altar is open. The pianist is playing. If God has spoken to your heart,